Welcome to Coffee with the Sarlows. We are your hosts of the show, Karen and Kelly Sarlo. Whether you're struggling with grief or you just need answers, we connect you with spirit to find relief, clarity, and direction in life. We can help you move forward.
Good morning, Kelly.
Good morning, Karen.
I have a story today about a man that calls over Zoom and asks me if I can tell him anything about his life purpose. And I'm going to name him Agu.
Agu. Okay.
So I checked in with the spirit guides and they said he specifically wants career. And I said, oh, okay. Well, what do you want to say about it? And they said, well, that we have to begin by saying that if we actually sat here and told him today what his career and his life purpose in career really is supposed to be on earth, he can't get there. And I said, why? And they said, because he doesn't have the confidence, he doesn't have the self-esteem to get there, to take all of the steps required to be this in his life. And I said, do you have more information about it? And they said, yes. I said, are you actually going to say what the career is supposed to be? Because is it something that could actually resonate with him on a really deep level? And they said, yeah, why don't we do a little bit of all of that? He was supposed to be an innovator. He was supposed to be a businessman and take the things that he created and sell them. And I said, you know, that sounds like a pretty amazing career. And I said, so why does it get sidetracked? And they said, it gets sidetracked by his dad, but we'll tell you that in a minute. You go ahead and tell him all of this. So I said, Agu, I said, I've got some things to tell you. And apparently some of it's going to make sense. And I said, but this is how this came out. I said, is that the guys are saying that while they want to tell you what your career and your in-life purpose is supposed to be. And he goes, wait, what do you mean? And I said, well, there's all types of life purposes. And I said, and they can be connected to each other. And I said, or they're just different. There could be a life purpose that you were supposed to go through three divorces. Or there could be a life purpose that you were supposed to, you were going to go through a particular injury or illness and learn certain things. And he goes, oh, I get your point. I didn't understand that. And I said, no, I understand that you don't know that because they're saying that you went straight to career and that you think that's the only life purpose is that it's about a job. Mm-hmm. And he goes, well, yeah, isn't that your purpose? He goes, isn't that what that's called? And I said, no. I said, yes, pardon me. It's one of, but there are tons of life purposes and people call to find out all kinds of them. He goes, I'm interested.
Yeah. Can we chat about that for a second? Just especially from a coaching perspective, I think this is a really, it's a topic that's imperative to talk about because a purpose can be defined differently for everyone. Someone's purpose within their career could be to earn money in order to get by in life. And that's enough, right? That might be your 9-to-5 that just helps you pay the bills and get by. That's enough of a purpose. For other people, purpose has more to do with personal fulfillment, right? Or meaningful contribution. And some of us are privileged enough to allow for our purpose to be defined as meaningful contribution. And some of us are not so privileged to have that kind of purpose within a career because we need to just get by. And to say that we are only going to define purpose by one standard is privilege, right? So I think it's a really great thing for anyone who's tuning in today to start playing with or questioning how you have defined purpose and how that has played out in conversations with people that you love or strangers, right? Where you have put your definition and your perspective of purpose on them, not necessarily understanding their need or their desires.
Okay, let's continue down that rabbit hole for a second and explanation, Kelly, because I think it's really good for employers, managers, people in human resource departments to really listen to that because they may think, okay, my job is to make sure that this person is functioning at their 100% capacity here every single day and that that's their purpose is to serve this business or company or association, organization, whatever it is, right? And yet we're finding out that, in fact, maybe the purpose is that they just do that 9 to 5 and that really max what they can give is 50% energy. And that their real purpose may be in the after hours of taking care of somebody or a sideline business that they're trying to start or their own creativity or whatever it is, that there are purposes outside the job. So if you are trying to extract 100% out of somebody and that is not their purpose, you're butting heads against each other instead of perhaps having the attitude of, it's okay that they're here and they're giving 100% of their 50%.
Okay. And then there is the whole other side of it, that if you are a corporation or company, any kind of business, where you believe that it's okay to just view purpose from a purely selfish standpoint of they are here to serve our company's purpose, mm-hmm. then you are really missing out on a big opportunity in life to be able to look at your employees and think, how can I impact their lives in the best way possible so that their definition of purpose can change, right? Not how can I get the most out of you for me? How can I give you the most so this is a reciprocal relationship where we are both mutually benefiting?
Right. And we might both mutually benefit till we hit a point that one of us has to say, our contract is now done, because some of those contracts aren't supposed to actually be right through to a retirement.
Yeah.
You might be there as the organization or the human resources department or the owner to be able to say, I'm going to take you to a point and then you're going to move on to be my competitor, and good for you.
Yeah. This was something I learned at Lululemon when I worked there in my early 20s, where their whole philosophy was, how can we make personal investments in our employees so that they want to show up as their best selves? Mm-hmm. And knowing full well that the women, mainly women, who were going to come through and work for the company were definitely someday going to leave, because we were investing so much in their personal development, and they were here to educate people about our clothing and sell our stuff, but we were putting so much personal investment in them that they were going to have the confidence to go off and build their own dreams. So they got used to this idea of cycling through employees because they were empowering people to go out and make the world a better place. Mm-hmm. And I just think, like, it creates a completely different kind of culture, and it creates a completely different kind of world when that's how you're viewing your own purpose from a business standpoint, instead of, how can I use people?
Yeah.
They're asking, how can I love people?
Yeah. Thank you.
Anyway, back to
that. That was a great segue into all of that. Thank you. Mm-hmm. So I explain to Agu that one of his life purposes is actually to be an inventor. And he spins around on his chair. So he's got a swivel chair and he's going round and round and round on his chair. And I said, and I can see that. And I said, and an entrepreneur. And I'm just watching him doing his spin. And he's going, woo, woo, like this on his chair. So then finally he stops, you know, just dead, looks straight at me. And he goes, I knew it. Mm-hmm. And I went, okay. And I went to start speaking again, and so did he at the very same time. So I can hear him trying to, like, go back and justify this answer and explain this answer to me. And I went, whoa, whoa, like this. And he's talking and talking. And I said, stop talking. And as soon as I said, stop talking, he just looks at me like, I can't believe you just told me that like this. And I said, oh, I said, I don't mean that to be rude. I said, but I've asked you and I've tried to give you visual cues to stop talking because I'm channeling. And I said, and before I could finish saying the rest of it, he goes, yeah, right. My bad, not yours.
Good.
And he goes, yeah, that's on me, not on you. You continue. And I said, I don't want you to try and explain it to me. I don't want you to give the validations yet. I said, I need to give some things to you that the spirit guides have said to me. And he goes, okay, you go. So I said, well, I see Legos. I see Kinects. I see building blocks. I see a science kit. Like, I could see, literally see Play-Doh. Like, I could see cooking, like, and baking. I could see all of these different things in life where his mom, and this is who I see at each of the points where he's doing these things. I see paint kits. I see all these different crafty things, little beads, all these little things that he's doing. And I said, all through your childhood, you were given all the tools to be creative. You were given all of the tools to do this, to be the innovator. So the way that you played as a child, what your mom put in front of you, wasn't like a video game per se.
You had to create.
You had to create. And I said, so you would have had like all kinds of cotton balls and you had to stick them and make things and all this stuff. And he goes, yep. And he said, that's what I was trying to tell you. I said, I know, Agu. I know that's what you were trying to tell me. And he goes, but I get it. It's way more fun when you tell me.
Mm-hmm.
He says, because what you're doing is that you're showing me my childhood. You're showing me where actually all of this was within me. And he goes, wait a minute. It is within me.
Mm-hmm.
And I went, yes. He goes, I understand what you're doing. He says, if I'm really present and really listening and really observing and understanding what you're doing, is you're saying that I got given the tools to do it. So somehow, somewhere along the way, this got sidelined. He goes, where in the hell did this get sidelined? And I said, okay, well, just give me a second. I said, I have to go back and ask the guides. This is the part like that I've seen so far. And he goes, this is so helpful. So he goes, you go. I want to know what happened. So then I asked the guides again, and I got to see and hear a whole bunch of things. So you and I call these our downloads. And that took another, you know, 3 or 4 minutes. And he just sat. He was very quiet. He was excellent in just giving me the time to do it without like, hurry up, you're wasting time, which is what a lot of other clients do.
I'm doing it right now.
What's that?
Go on.
Oh. Okay. But it's important to explain that to people because when we're actually pausing, when we're channeling, we're getting downloads, we're getting information. We are working for you.
Mm-hmm.
It can't be like this, sometimes every single second. Sometimes it truly is, other times it's not. And we have to go with the flow with whatever it is. But what he did was he just totally allowed it to be. And then I said, oh, I said, I see where your dad asks a lot of questions. And he goes, yeah. He goes, my dad's great. And I went, no. And he goes, yeah. And I said, no, I said, your dad asked questions that undermined your confidence in yourself. And I said, so when your dad was around, I said, as much as he came in with the approach of asking you a question about something, hey, bud, and he would do it. Like he goes, yeah, my dad calls me that, hey, bud, and kind of gives me a nudge. And I said, yeah, to get your attention from what you're doing. He goes, mm-hmm, yes. And then he'd ask me questions, lots of them. And he said, it was great. And I said, no, Agu, it wasn't great. I said, he asked you questions like, why would you do that? And I said, he asked you lots of questions that undermined you. You could have done it this way. This would have been a faster way. This would have, he always corrected. He goes, yes, my dad always corrected, but he told me he was correcting me so that I could get to the goal that I was trying to get to. And I said, yeah. And what happened to you as a kid when your dad did that? He goes, well, I just stopped. My dad took over and my dad showed me and my dad made those things. And I went, right, his way. And he goes, well, yeah, because his way was always better. I was just a kid, right? And I went, no, he did it in an attempt to undermine you so that you couldn't complete what you were making. And lots of times the guides are saying you had fully made your stuff. You wanted to show him the things that you had made. After, like when he came home from work or when he came in from outside or after he finished his coffee or whatever it was, whenever he showed up, he always had to make corrections. And he goes, that is very true. My dad always corrected everything I did. And I said, well, yeah. So the message was that you don't ever do anything right on your own. Oh my God. And he sits there and he looks at me and he goes, this explains why my wife always says that I can't finish things. That I start things.
Oh, wow. He made a great connection there.
Yeah.
That was a big leap.
Yeah. He says, this explains to me why my coworkers complain about me. He says, like, that I disappear on projects.
The point at which Dad would have stepped in.
Yes. And I said, does it make sense that you're waiting for the coworkers or the boss to correct you? He goes, 100%. He says, I even begin all my conversations with my boss saying, well, now I've started this and this is what I did. And then I stop and the boss will look at me or coworkers will go, okay, well, where are we going with this? Like, we need you to, you're the lead. Like, what's the goal? Like, I can't see where you're going with this. And he goes, and I look at them and I go, well, I don't know. And he says, and I feel stupid. So he says, so now I've just literally started less and less and I'm offering less and less and I hate my job. And this is why I'm here today. And he says, in actuality, he says, my wife was the one that told me to book the appointment with you. And he says, honestly, Karen, she told me a year ago. And he said, and it took me a whole year of watching my wife having sessions with you. And she's in your book club. And he says, he says, I've watched her change and have the life she wants to live and see her become happy, see her actually develop her own confidence and self-esteem. And he says, and finally I realized, I think I need to make my own appointments because you did something for her, but I don't know what you did. He says, I just see all the changes. And I said, well, this is what we do. And he goes, so what you did for my wife was you went back right into childhood and you pointed out something that like almost turned off a switch, in other words, right? He goes, because like what you're basically saying is that my brain knew how to do this as a kid. My dad came in and said, oh no, we're going to start putting these beliefs in you so that you can't actually get to a completion. So eventually I'll just sabotage my own self. And I went, yes. And I said, Agu, thank you for showing up. Like, you are doing a tremendous amount of the work, because typically a lot of clients won't do any of this level of work. And the guides have to explain all of this in detail.
And make the connections.
Yeah.
And give examples. And that's not to say that you can't come and we can't do those things for you. We don't want people to feel shame if we need to do that.
Yeah.
Especially the first few times as you're figuring out how sessions even work. But we still have clients who show up year after year where they're still not doing their work, even though physically they show up for sessions.
I could say that in the 14 years of my practice, Kelly, I still have clients that are on day one. And it has to do with, individually for different people, different reasons why they're not doing their own work. And for some of them, quite simply, because if I bother to actually do my own work, maybe my job will change and I'm scared of losing my pension, or I'm scared of losing my work husband or my work wife. Or
if I try, I'll fail.
Exactly.
So I'll collect knowledge and theory, but I won't implement.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So Agu says to me, could you continue and go open? My wife said one of the best parts of your sessions is listening to all of this and then asking for open, because in the open part of the session, after this kind of, I don't know, she says, like, whatever it is that you do, because we still don't, we still, through all of our conversations, haven't figured out what it is you do.
Same. Same, sir.
I said, that's good, Kelly. I said the same thing to him. I don't know what the hell I'm doing either. And I say that every single session and probably every single podcast show. I
take direction very well.
Yes. But anyhow, we went into the open part of the session and his spirit guides and his dad's spirit guides came forth to give him the apology his father won't give him on earth.
So dad's still alive?
Yes. Mm. And dad's still alive and dad's still doing it and he still has a relationship with dad. And the guides explained to him why he has hesitation, reluctance, anxiety attacks, a sense of depression, I'll say a level of depression, avoidance, sabotage, and like they listed
all. Those are all synonyms.
Yes, but they had to list them for him so that he could understand that all of these things that he experiences, lack of sleep, oh, I could go on. Yes, the way that he chooses to eat, what he eats, right? So, and we named some of the foods that he chooses to eat, what he chooses to drink. When he's in these states, he doesn't choose water. He chooses alcohol, video games, like the places that he goes and the vices he uses to avoid actually dealing with his issue with his dad.
So narcotizing, falling asleep to your own life.
Yes. And so the whole conversation there came where his dad came in and said, okay, but this is how I trained you to do it. So when I depleted your self-esteem and robbed you of it, stole you of it as a child, and you went down, I said things to you like, oh, you don't need to be in a mood like that. How about a little treat? And I gave you the sugar. Like, so the spirit guides actually told him and showed him the instances where he got trained into some of these things. Like, okay, I just destroyed your self-esteem, so why don't I make it up to you tonight? That's not how it's said, by the way. But I'll hang out with you and we'll play a little video game because that's what daddy likes. So I'll train you to like the video game so we're having father-dad time. But in reality, you're getting addicted to these video games because it gives you a little feeling of not being as disconnected from me as what I just did when I destroyed your self-esteem. Mm-hmm. Meaning that when I destroy your self-esteem with my little comments about how you could do something better, that I don't want you to see what I'm doing. So, and I don't even want to admit what I'm doing. So because of my need to be able to feel like a better parent after the shit I just put you through, I'm going to appease myself by doing something I like.
With you.
With you. Which none of it is about his son. All of it is about the dad.
Mm-hmm. And so what happens for Agu is that he learns that all of these uncomfortable emotions that come with being undermined are things that you want to rush out of. Right. So if his dad actually lets him sit in those feelings of low self-esteem too long, then he might actually figure some things out. He might realize, oh, well, I was fine. Dad came home and that's when I felt shitty about myself. So if dad acts quickly and says, here's a remedy, because I noticed that your mood just dipped, then Agu learns, don't sit in an emotion too long, go numb it. Go find something else to avoid what I'm actually feeling, which might signal I need to change something.
Yes. Perfect. So all of this gets discussed in his session with Agu's spirit, with his dad's spirit, mm-hmm. where his dad comes forward and says, this is what I did to you. This is why I did it to you. These were forms of control. This is how it's affected your life to the point right now. And I would say that Agu is probably in his late 30s, just if I'm just guessing by his looks. I could be wrong. He could be younger. He could be older. He's sitting there going, I need to hear this because it's you're literally joining the dots. I said, yes. I said, Agu, for me, it's like neuroscience. It's like lighting up all of the pathways in the brain where your dad broke those pathways for his own purpose.
So it's not like neuroscience. It is that. Okay.
Yes.
You're just explaining what maybe you see as you're getting the messages and how things are interconnected.
Yeah.
That's all happening within Agu, and that's how he's being wired.
Yes. So I explained to him the best way that I could in the way that I see it, in terms of the energy healing. And this was cool. He appreciated it. That's why I'm sharing it today. Because some people might be listening to this and going, oh my God, I want to hear what it looks like too.
Yeah, but you're also missing a huge component. It's not just energy healing. You're seeing it in terms of a medical intuitive where you're actually seeing the brain light up like a light bright. And you're seeing which things are firing and wiring physically.
Yeah.
Physiologically, right?
Yes.
So it's not just an energy standpoint. It's actually medical intuitive.
It's all of it. But yes, thank you for breaking that down and explaining it.
Mm-hmm. Also, I want people to kind of hear this because maybe you're listening and you're like dumbfounded at this point. This is the moment where you hit pause and you hit the share button with the people in your life who you know have been undermined as a kid. And you say, hey, this might explain why you keep sabotaging yourself. Hey, this might explain why you hate your job or think you hate your job. Because Agu might actually find out he loves his job and that he's been given several opportunities to... Am I ruining your show? Okay, great. Let me continue and do what I'm best at. Where he realizes, oh my God, I have ample opportunity to harness this creative person in me that the team actually wants me to lead and complete those things that I'm actually great at. And I'm not doing it because of this training I received, but if I'm putting in the work, I could actually love the job without the job having to change if I'm digging deeper than just my behaviors that I don't like.
Yes. Okay. So I'm going to go to that. I'm going to leave all of the medical intuitive information and the chat we had around the brain, which was phenomenal. He asked me questions around the colors and what that looked like and how and how that connected to different organs in his body and where he was experiencing things in his gut. Mm-hmm. So it ended up that we ended up doing a medical part of that session where we ended up in his digestive system and in particular points in his
particular. I love that. Go ahead. Okay. Karen over enunciates when she gets excited and it nothing slips by me because I just love language so much. So this was just a moment where I saw your excitement kind of, you know, spike on the scale.
Okay.
Particular. Go on.
Particular points in his digestive system. And how it was aggravating, like the lining of the wall, which the guides would then say that this is, and they would say what it was. And I don't remember anymore because I'm not a medical person, but it was like Crohn's or something. Mm-hmm. I can't remember. It was, anyway, they told him and he went, and you can just hear the intake of his breath like, oh my God, she's explaining this to me. And I said, so correct? And he went, yeah. And I said, and that started when you were a teenager. And he went, yes. He goes, just out of curiosity, I'm not trying to test you, but do you even know like exactly what age? Or he goes, this is just blowing my mind how you're doing this. And I said, well,
same.
As far as I can see. And then I see the number 13 in front of me. And I went, oh, 13, because I was going to start explaining something and the guides made it even easier for me, which I so appreciate when the guides try to give messages in different ways to help us be more accurate. So I said, 13 years, I said, that's what it looks like to me. And he goes, I would say, you know, give or take a couple of months. Yes. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay. I said, and I would lean more to 12 years old than 14 years old. And I said, and it has something to do with your hormones at that age and stress kicking in. And he went, okay. He says, I'm recording this. I'm going to do some research. And I said, well, if you're going to do research on it, I said, you might want to check into some books like Gabor Mate's book, When the Body Says No. And there's another book, When the Body Keeps a Score. But there are probably also other books. Mm-hmm. So I said, and I cannot remember the author of the second book, but that is the proper name of the book for anybody listening that really wants to do some research and go into this. So we had a chat about what was going on in his stomach, what was happening to the microbiomes in his stomach at that age that were also related to the hormones. And then we went up and we were doing some work in some of his other organs. So it ended up going into somewhat of a medical intuitive session. And he said, when do I book an appointment for the energy healing? I need that, obviously. And I said, well, we do that as we're doing your entire session. And he goes, you bring multitasking to a whole other level. He goes, like, I just don't even understand how you're getting all of these messages, talking to me, doing energy healing, doing this, doing medical reading, telling me how it's connected to my dad, what my dad and his behavior and the things he said to me were literally affecting my hormones and my development, and he damaged it at a certain age. And I said, which is the underlying reason why you have so much anxiety and reluctance and irritability when you want to go see your dad, when there's any conversations with your dad? And he goes, okay. He says, this explains so much.
It's also very confusing because his narrative is still, my dad's so great. Because to explain why it's so confusing, his body is keeping score and telling him exactly what he actually doesn't want to do or put himself in that environment with his father. But the narrative he keeps telling himself is in conflict with what his body is saying. And so confusion ensues, irritability ensues, because you are literally fighting yourself internally to do one thing when you feel another. Okay, so truth be told, I have an existential crisis every time we do coffee with the Sarlos. And I just want to explain this for a second. As everyone knows, like, I also do all of the things that you're talking about, right? All of the different modalities of channeling. And I do life coaching. And it's been really fun developing Coffee with the Sarlos with you because you tell a lot of the stories about your client sessions. And I've taken on the role of sort of explaining and making connections for clients, or pardon me, listeners who might not fully understand the gravity of the messages that you're sharing and how that can be implemented and interwoven into different aspects of people's lives. So I sit here in this existential crisis of shit, I've really got to get back to channeling and doing more of that because it's so fun and it's so, so connective. And I miss that a lot. And second part of that existential crisis is I get a lot of those clients after you have something like a Guz session where he says, I need to know more about how to take those messages and do something with them, mm-hmm. not just understand it theoretically. And I put a coaching package together for them or program together for them where they actually have activities that they can implement and accountability with a coach where they can actually follow up and say, okay, here's what I'm doing. Here's how it's going. Here's the progress, mm-hmm. right? And being a champion for people to say, you're doing great. Keep going. Here's small tweaks you can make, not in an undermining way, but in a mm-hmm. for interest of progress, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's like, well, do I do more of the channeling or do I wait for those people to come for mm-hmm. coaching so that they can get the second part instead of being repeat clients, like you mentioned, on day one over and over and over again.
Yep.
And my joy comes from both of these things. But truth be told, I have far more fun picking up where you leave off with the messages.
Oh yeah, I bet you do.
I do. And it's frustrating when it doesn't convert, when someone has an aha moment like a goo and then just goes, well, back to life, right? Because both of us, including the spirit world, all want to see the progression of the work and the actual universal law of process happening.
That's right.
And many other universal laws that fall into when you come for coaching, which is accountability, the law of action, right? The law of flexibility. There's so many beautiful things that we could talk about, but this is my internal battle. Thanks for letting me share that.
You're welcome. Yeah, I totally understand that. And I'm glad that you're on that end of it.
Thanks.
And I would welcome you back to my team too.
Well, yeah, I know. Yeah.
Right? Okay, so thank you for sharing. At the end of the session, a goose says to me, okay, he says, so it all makes sense to me now why I have such conflicting feelings about my dad, which causes my anxiety attack. Mm-hmm. He goes, it's the conflict that causes the anxiety, right? Because my body is saying, stay away from this man, right, Karen? And I said, correct. And he says, but then there's a part of me that's saying, but he's your dad. And I said, yes, that's the people pleaser.
Okay, can I break this down?
Yes.
Okay, this is what I love. A goo as a child would probably not have labeled that his conflict was the problem, okay,
right.
to the anxiety. We would label that dad's presence and dad's behavior is the problem causing his anxiety. And that would be true because he's a kid. He doesn't know any better. He doesn't have the mental faculties or the mm-hmm. tools to actually piece all those things together. And he is dependent in so many ways on this adult who is supposed to be rearing him in a healthy way. I love how he worded that now as an adult, the problem is the inner conflict because dad is no longer responsible for how a goo handles his life and the self-observation and the self-awareness that he is going to develop for himself, right? And so a goo's statement actually has loaded personal responsibility in there to say, this is no longer my dad's problem. These are my dad's behaviors. This is what my dad is choosing. Mm-hmm. But the problem is me fighting my own internal battle and going against what I know is best for myself as an autonomous adult. Love it.
Correct. Yes. So I keep saying, like, I like how you do that. And then I have to just say, so that's what a goo got told. So now the podcast is about becoming Karen saying, and that's what a goo was told. Sorry. No, it's good. And I hope the listeners enjoy how you say it and how you educate.
Thanks.
And then maybe they can also just sit and have a little bit of a laugh with me when I come up with my comment. Or maybe now they're all taking, a shot of coffee or a shot of tea or a gulp of their smoothie when Karen pops out that line.
Yep.
Okay. So we chatted about that. And, he was phenomenal because he was purposefully... he came purposeful to make those connections and to do his work instead of me having to do it and say it for him. Mm. But like you said earlier, if somebody's coming where they aren't at that place yet, you still can come and we can still do it for you.
Yep.
That's not a problem. And I don't want anybody listening to that to feel shame or to think, I better get ready before I book the appointment.
Here's what you can do. I'm all about empowering people, right? We both are. You may come for a session, hear a message, and be like, I don't know if that's true in my life. You could equip yourself with some good questions to be able to, let's go this route to say, thank you for the message, Karen. I will need to take time to reflect on where that's true in my life. And that's saying, I'm going to do my work to go back into my memories and look at where that plays out instead of saying, can you tell me exactly where that happened in my life? It's different when someone says, can you give me an example, right? Because the example is going to be something that helps you draw your own parallel. You're still doing the work of going back and figuring out where that's happened in your life, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we don't want people to feel a sense of urgency where you have to make the connection right away in the session. You might just be able to say, like I mentioned, okay, I'm going to take that and I'm going to reflect on that. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that's not withholding either. That's you saying, I need to work at a slower process because this is new for me and I'm going to engage in that process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. So we chatted a little bit there about his decision to go back to see his dad again. So he just said to me, just talking to me, he said, I think I need time in order to actually think, to get some help, to process some of this before I ever go back to have a chat with my father again, if I choose to go back to speak to my father again. He says, what I'm getting out of this is that I actually need time, and it's not something that I've given myself because I go see my dad every week.
Which is the people-pleasing.
Yes.
I don't give myself time.
Yes. And we talked about the people-pleasing, going back to that. Thank you. I'd forgotten that that had come up. And he was referred to Beverly Angell's book, The Nice Girl Syndrome, to understand the core beliefs he has that he needs to put his dad's needs before his own. Instead of saying, no, as an adult, it is my responsibility to myself to put my own needs first. Because that's when we actually are able to dissect and look at our relationship under a health microscope.
Mm-hmm.
And health microscope meaning that you're looking at the details and the minutiae to see what is healthy and make sure that if it's not there, that you insert and get the tools to put health there. So that brought us to the end of the discussion around the need to understand how his being raised to people please contributed to his inability to take his own pauses, which kept him in sabotage mode.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like, oh my God. I just remember that moment. He was just like, oh my God. He goes, I literally feel it in my body. I can feel it. He says, Karen, he says, I don't just feel it in my stomach. He says, my stomach's just twisting. It's going into knots. And he says, and I feel like I want to throw up and I refuse to do that. And I went, oh, really? Did you throw up as a kid? And he goes, pardon? I said, did you throw up as a kid? He goes, I did. Where are we going? And I went, I think it's interesting. And I would be willing to bet you that you stopped throwing up before you turned 12, 13. And he went, I see what you're doing. And I said, and I'll be willing to bet you that when you stopped throwing up, you started with the other digestive issues that turned into what you now have been diagnosed with.
So the throwing up being a symptom of the body saying, hey, red alert,
yes.
Things aren't okay, things need changing, actually healthy, okay? Because he's not throwing up he's not inducing it. Right?
No, he wasn't.
And then there is this act of defiance of, I will shove this down. I will breathe through it. I will do whatever I need to refuse the message, not refuse the throw up, refuse the message that the vomiting is actually trying to get to you. And then I will bury that deep so that something else needs to manifest as a symptom.
Yes. This is so important. And he asked, did you see what happened? Can you, do you have a film in there? Do you see what happened when I stopped throwing up?
And what happens is if you're shoving that down and it turns into a stomach problem now, not that you just vomit because you have anxiety, well, now I can refocus and say that the problem is it must be dietary stuff. So now I'm going to chase all of the experts and all of the doctors. I'm going to outward focus on what foods do I need to restrict? What foods do I need to incorporate? How am I going to change all of these other things than the thing that actually needs changing?
Yes. So he asked me about what happened when when he threw up. And I said, well, yeah. I said, the guides are showing that when you threw up, at first, your mom cleaned it. Always. I said, and then she wasn't around, or she asked your dad to do it. He only did it once or twice and went, I'm not doing that again. And he made you clean it. And he went, yes.
As a kid.
Yes. Huh. And I said, and he goes, and then he says, I couldn't clean my own throat because it made me throw up more. And he says, so, and I went, right. I said, do you see the cycle of abuse here? And he went, and you can see in that moment that that's when he finally realizes his dad was abusive, was in the situation of making his own kid clean up his own throw up.
Please remember too that this podcast started where he said, yeah, my dad is great.
Yes. And then he sits there and he looks at me and he goes, okay. He goes, so what came out of this session today is that I walked in here with a version of my dad and you, no, he says, wait a minute. I was asking you all about my career.
Purpose.
Yeah. And he says, so now I'm drawing the link that I can't live my purpose because I'm unwilling to look at
my daddy issues.
My dad. And I went, yes.
All within what, 60 minutes?
Yes. 1 hour booking.
Clarity. Relief. Direction.
Yeah. And the part that you talked about the food, he went into, he voluntarily said.
Yeah.
And his wife conferred because I could hear her yelling off camera.
Thank you, wife.
And all I could hear her when I would say something about, and then you would go to doctors, and then I could hear her going, yeah, preach it, Karen. Like from the other space. Mm-hmm. And I remembered in that moment really feeling beautiful doing what I do, because I can validate this woman's love for her husband.
Oh, cool.
And how she's trying to healthily love him away from an unhealthy dad. Mm-hmm. But she's now got a person on her team.
Yeah, it's cool. Because there's how many fucking family dynamics where couples will bring to the attention of the other person, the other spouse, hey, this parent that you do love for a lot of reasons is not the best thing for you. And it looks like they're trying to isolate you. It looks like they're trying to pull you away from family. It looks like they're being controlling. And in some instances, that's true. But in a situation like this, he gets to actually find out, holy fuck, she loves me that much.
Yes. And she loves me in healthy ways. And I'm going every week to visit my dad that pulls me and undoes what she's done for 6 days. Mm-hmm. And so on the seventh day, I go fuck it all up.
Mm-hmm. And how long do they need repair in those 7 days?
Exactly. And how long does his digestive system, his body, how long do his coworkers need? How long does his boss give him? Like the end of the conversation came to the fact that he had so many people that loved him. So he goes, okay, wait a minute, let's go back to the job. That's where we started. And I said, yeah, I said, the answer to the question is that you can be innovative in the work that you do and for the company you work for, and you can be an entrepreneur if you stay. And he goes, he just almost had this look like this little kid that wants to cry to say, I get my toy. Mm. Actually, that's a really good, that's brilliant. Because it is like going back into his childhood to say, let's take you back to that place.
My Legos, my connects.
I get to have them. She said, I didn't realize that till they just came out of my mouth there. So he asked about the job at the very end. And I said, you have a boss and you have coworkers that like you for who you are, but are frustrated with some of the behavior that they see developing and getting worse in you. And they're worried about you. They just aren't therapists. And they just don't actually know how to help you be successful when everything is there for you. And he goes, oh my God, say no more. He goes, because I've got it at work. He goes, isn't this a great life that I've got it at work? I've got it. I've picked the right person to be married to. He says, I need to cut out one cancer.
Okay. And I want to correct some language here for a second.
Of course you do.
I like correcting. It's not even about success, because I think some people will listen to this and think like, oh, okay, the answer to his success is, it's not actually that. They actually, the coworkers and the boss that you said who want him to be successful, they actually want him to be integrated.
Yes.
They want him to have his integrity. So they see the potential for him to show up fully mm-hmm. as himself. And then where he gets disintegrated along the way, where it's the low self-esteem that comes in and sabotages the projects and sabotages his own efforts, mm-hmm. they're actually rooting for him to be integrated as his whole self so that he can show up and just be him. And it's not about success.
Right, unless we define success as
integrated
and yeah. integrity.
That's my point.
And mine. So Kelly, that brought us to the end of the session.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it really was.
This is a very shareable show. And I hope that people are thinking about the people that they love, the Agus of their own life, and forwarding this off so that they know how much they're supported and loved by you as someone in their life who also wants them to be integrated. Thanks for listening to Coffee with the Sarlows. If you enjoyed the show today, help spread the love with a like, share, or review of the podcast. See you next Saturday with a brand new episode.